Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors. And we're going to stick with the famous Alec Medford. I really wanted to use a different descriptor this morning, but I think it would get me in trouble with the FCC and definitely with Mr. Medford. Gentlemen, how we doing today? And welcome to the program.
I am fantastic right now. Dude, LeGrande brought in this giant burger. It's got Trumpo on it, and it's got all sorts of
politics.
No, I don't think that's the case. This thing's amazing, dude. And they also had some birria tacos and everything. I'm so excited about today already.
Alec,
and then tonight,
did you get some food?
Sorry, no, because I you know, it's fall winter time, so I'm on the bulk, as they call it in gym terms. Mm. So I ate a huge breakfast, and I'm bloated as absolute hell.
That'll get you.
Yep.
And so I get to go to the Cowboys Club and hang out with Nate Newton, Tommy Yarish, and Anthony Spencer. So I'm excited about that.
Ooh, very nice. Well, speaking of the Cowboys, then their next opponent's going to be the Commanders. Let's get into scouting the Commanders. Also in this segment, we will talk a little bit more about the Jason Kidd extension and how good of a coach is he? 877-881-1053, Frankel injury attorney text line if you want to get in on either one of those topics right now. Let's start with scouting the Commanders. Gentlemen, if you were so inclined, this might be a game where if you're into the gambling and the daily fantasy and whatnot, I would take a look at that over-under. The over-under is high this week. The last I saw was 52.5. But while we all know that the Cowboys defense is not good, guess what? Commanders defense, not so good either. And if you factor in this last game for the Commanders where they turned into a turnover palooza, this could be a defensive optional game. I want to focus in on this. The Commanders in their first five games, turn the ball over three times. That is a ratio of 0.6 turnovers a game you're always going to take. In this last game, they turned the ball over three times.
Okay.
So first five games, three turnovers. This last game, three turnovers. And they had another fumble that they were lucky enough to recover, or otherwise, you might have been looking at four turnovers and you would have surpassed your entire season total to that point. Dan Quinn was very matter-of-fact about it. He goes, look, when you finish -3 in turnovers, you really don't deserve to win. This one stings. And I know they lost at the last second to a team that beat our ass, but they did not deserve to win that game, and that is something I think to watch out for.
Yeah, this Cowboys team needs that revitalization to be able to force some turnovers, get extra possessions, because as we discussed, the margin for error is so small for the Cowboys that if you don't score, you feel like you're done. That's kind of how UNT felt Friday night. Guys, we gotta score, and in panic. But then the way that they can change that is if they don't even have to get stops defensively.
No, I agree.
As much as if they get the ball back.
Agreed.
Because Dak can score, man. He's going to be able to do that. It is frustrating, though, whenever you do that for them and they don't score and you're like, well, what was the point? And then you're figured out.
Not a particularly bold take, but if you're able to force three turnovers against the Commanders, you damn sure better figure out a way to win that game. Now, who is one of the people to watch for when it comes to these turnovers? Jacory Kroski-Merritt. We have talked about, it feels like he's been quite the early revelation for the Commanders, but he fumbled for a second consecutive game. Now, to his credit, Kroski Merritt, he took ownership of it and said, hey, I still got a lot of confidence in myself. I have to be better at my job, and that will get fixed for sure. So he is confident going in, which makes sense. It would be weird if he was like, ooh, hopefully third time's not still the unlucky.
You know,
yeah, exactly. Like, that would make no sense. But that is a younger player, which potentially you can take advantage of, because one thing the Cowboys are good at, and sometimes they sacrifice tackles for this, is punching the ball out. So I would say focus on the Commanders running back as a potential if you want to spring maybe some of those turnovers.
Okay, yeah. No, I think you got a really good point there. Let's get that happening.
Now, if you don't,
mm-hmm.
here's how it's probably going to play out.
You're going to lose by 50.
I mean, I hope not that much, but consider how good Washington is once you get into the red zone. All right, so the Commanders, once they get inside the 20, they're fifth in the NFL this year in touchdown rate in the red zone.
Okay.
73%. All right, so we've already established all of the problems that come along with the Cowboys' defense, from lack of pass rush, inability to stop touchdowns, inability to cover, whether you're in zone or man, and trouble tackling, especially against the run, and on and on and on. And then you factor in that when the Commanders get into the red zone, they're almost as good as it gets in the NFL at turning a red zone into not just points, mm-hmm. but 7 points.
Yeah,
Zach, or 6 points.
Zach Ertz has been great for them in that area. They have a lot of different weapons that they can go to. As you just pointed out, they can get a lot of different areas to score. And Kingsbury has a variety of plays. Like, he loves to dive into his playbook in that area. And they can run. They can get you outside. They can get you inside. So there's a lot of different ways they can attack you when they're that close.
Have y'all been impressed?
And the Cowboys, Kevin, as we've been discussing, their linebackers aren't quick to react.
Agreed.
And that's something that I think that Kingsbury is going to try to expose.
Do you ever wonder, and I guess we can take some responsibility for this as well, that might still be an undervalued weakness of this defense. I feel like we've talked a lot about the defensive line and a lot about the secondary. Well, don't let the linebackers off the hook.
Yeah.
Because slow to move, trouble tackling, that is a problematic second level of the defense as well.
And the hope that DeMarvion Overshown is just going to step in and save the group, that you can't feel that way about it. Now, maybe they make one little move and a little adjustment there, but he's going to take time too. So yeah, man, the linebacker group has a lot of work to do, and this isn't going to be an easy game because, again, Kingsbury's going to look at them and go, yeah, eat all day, boys.
Yeah, look, somebody threw this in there. We'll have overreaction reality later in the show around the noontime, but I wanted to go and throw it out there. I think I have more radical viewpoints on this than most people,
okay.
But overreaction reality, the Cowboys have to win this game to make the playoffs. Now, mathematically, I realize that is most certainly not the case. But look, I'm in the camp where I think looking at the schedule at the outset, you saw the potential to go 4-2, 5-1. Now, that would be best case scenario. That was before they traded Micah and everything like that. And you just lost to Carolina. You got walloped by the Bears. You eked by, thank you very much, Brandon Aubrey, the Giants. I do look at this game and I'm like, you're 2-4-1, and on the schedule you still have Denver, Philly, Kansas City, Detroit, the Chargers, and Washington again. I don't see it, man. You might not see it anyway.
All of those teams look more stable than the Cowboys.
True.
Every team feels more stable than the Cowboys at the moment.
Except for the Jets.
Except for the Jets. And that's really sad whenever some teams have changed quarterbacks and some, you know, all these things are happening, yet you still feel like there's more stability because of the way the defense has just been torched. So I understand your fear on that. Nate has me in this different mindset right now because I have been holding out hope that Eberflus didn't get enough work done in training camp. He didn't have Micah, and then he was like, well, I got to make some changes and adjustments. Now, I always thought I was going to have this, and now he's trying to figure out, he's extending it into the regular season,
right,
and going, I still got to figure these players out, and hopefully he's like, all right, finds them and says, okay, for the rest of the season, we're back. And maybe their health comes back too, because that's something I think still in the corners that are killing us. But Kevin, I think you're right there too. If this is one of those, you can't lose another division opponent. You can't have too many of these stack up on you before you get to the big part of your schedule, the meat of it.
And I promise, I understand if the Cowboys lose, Steven's not going to say that. Jerry's not going to say that. None of the players are going to say that, because it probably would be foolish at 2-4-1 to think you're done. But at least like with the Ravens, I understand that they're like, hey, we got Lamar Jackson coming back, and that's going to change the ballgame. Now, I think that completely ignores how bad their defense is as well. Yeah. But I at least understand kind of that line of thinking. I don't see it. And maybe it's just because of how many Cowboys games, or how, you know, intensely we watch these Cowboys games. I just don't have a good feeling about the team right now. Like, it'd be different if they were 2-3-1 through fluky manners and like Chicago hit their Hail Mary against us and all of that. But like, you got beaten like a drum by Chicago. You lost to, I think, a bad Carolina team, and you lucked out to win the Giants game. So there are a lot of things at play that don't have me feeling like super duper stoked up about this team.
Kevin, somebody just texted in and said, are you guys watching football? A lot of defenses are really bad. Stop with this Cowboys defense stuff. There's only one team in the NFL that's given up more points than the Cowboys defense, and that is the Baltimore Ravens, who are atrociously, like, this, we've never seen the Ravens this bad before.
Right.
You are the second worst giving up points. Yes, we are watching the football. We are seeing what's happening. We are also seeing that the offense is one of the top scoring offenses in the league as well. So the flip side of that is, what's keeping this team from having an undefeated record right now? The fact that their defense can't stop anybody. So, no, we'll continue on the Cowboys defense stuff.
Let's just go up the list just real quick for, I was going to say fun. This will not be a fun exercise.
Crap.
I still think you're right. Points given up is probably a better way to do this. So we'll loop back
around.
Kevin,
at the end of the day.
Okay. All right. So look.
The score is based on who scored more and who scored less.
That
I don't know why I added a T there.
Is confusing. Huh. But let's go to it. How many teams in the NFL give up more than 400 yards per game? One.
Okay.
It's the Cowboys. They're last in overall defense. And if you think that's flawed, we'll get back to that in just a second. Who's next to last? The Cincinnati Bengals, who famously have a terrible defense going into the season and have done very little to change that perception. Who's next after that? The Miami Dolphins, who are on the brink of firing their head coach, and every single week it feels like we talk about it. Who's after that? The Baltimore Ravens, who have had tied for the worst start under Harbaugh because, sure, their quarterback got hurt, but that's just been the last 2 weeks because their defense, S-U-C-K-S, sucks. And then you get the New York Giants, who had to change their quarterback to do something to prop up a defense that has struggled as well. Don't tell me that the Cowboys defense is no worse than everybody else's. The Cowboys give up 30.7 points per game. Did you know that there are 9 teams in the NFL that give up 20 or fewer points per game? 9! And you give up more than 30! Like, what are we even talking about? There are plenty of things to argue about on this team. Does the defense suck? Yes, right now. Can they get better? Sure.
Everybody can.
Yes, but you cannot tell me at this point in the season that you have reached the conclusion that the Cowboys defense is no worse than anybody else.
Not the problem.
That is an outrageous thought. If I'm keeping it a buck right now, we ask. that was Cam Ward.
I understand.
I feel like that sentiment is not too far off. All right. Couple more Commanders things if you want, or we can pivot to the Mavericks. All right. So for the Mavericks, they did in fact give the contract extension to Jason Kidd. So this is another one of those things where what we think or what the fans think, I'm curious about, but it's not going to impact the decision-making process because the decision is done. The last preseason game of the year is today for the Mavericks. The regular season starts in a week. So it makes sense that they would kind of get this done right now. He's taken the team to two Western Conference Finals, obviously the NBA Finals. So I was a little bit surprised, Corey, when you sent me the coaching tiers.
Yeah, and I told you you could use it or not. I really didn't care.
Okay, well, I did care, and I choose yes. So they broke down the eight tiers of coaches.
Yeah, and they basically said that Jason Kidd's defenses have been the thing that have carried them, which is true, and that's what Nico decided to invest in.
I think that might well be the case again this year. I have questions, especially before Kyrie comes back, about who's really going to score on this team.
But I think the key to what they said about Jason Kidd, I think they had him, 17 in the functional coach group. I think he's much more than that because I think he has such an amazing basketball mind. I think he sees it better than anybody else we know. But they're right. The teams he's had have been hit and miss. There's no consistency across the board with what he's done. Hey, one year we're going to go to the NBA Finals, and the next year we're not making the playoffs. You know, like, it's what's happening with these guys. So that's where that kind of is weird to me.
So,
but I like the coach.
The leader in the clubhouse, and he's in a tier of his own, is Rick Carlisle. And I think after you look at the last...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Few years, that makes a whole lot of sense. The elite of the elite is included Spolstra, Lou, Kerr, Udoka, and so you move down the tiers, and the tiers don't matter as much because the way the tiers are stacked is kind of fascinating. But Jason Kidd is, in fact, as Corey just said, 17th. So the concept that he is a run-of-the-mill coach, I will say, I think the biggest difference with him and Carlisle's, I'm not here to argue that Jason Kidd will navigate the X's and O's like Carlisle does. But one advantage I think he has, you saw it to a certain extent with Luka, though obviously we moved on from him, and I think you're going to see it with Cooper Flagg, is ability to connect with players because he can walk through his specific playing experience. Yeah. I know Carlisle played. I'm not saying that, but Jason Kidd played at a whole different level. And I think the respect that comes along with that, as well as the basketball IQ, is probably what helps him connect with players. And I think that could be his biggest strength.
From the 682, he's such a good head coach, he actually is allowed to drive on July 5th, which I said at one point, if you're out driving because it's July 4th, and then Kevin took it as multiple texters did as well.
You made it sound like
drive on July 4th.
Yeah, you made it sound like that was the only day.
I love you guys.
That you could go around and drive. So Jason Kidd gets the multi-year extension. He has been the coach for 4 years. That will continue on.
Good for him.
He's guided the Mavericks to a 179-149 overall regular season record. And like we said, took the team to the Western Conference Finals twice. And the NBA Finals and the regular season starts in a week. He will be here for a few years more, at the least, it appears. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where the Dodgers pitchers continue their unbelievable run. Next on The Fan.
The 0-2. And a swing and a miss. And Yoshi Yamamoto with his crown jewel as a Dodger. It is a complete game. He goes the distance. And the Dodgers win game two by a score of 5-1.
I assume now he will get the fancy crown jewel belt. Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for some baseball nuggets. So, Churio led off that game for the Brewers with a home run. I realize it was in the bottom of the inning. And you're like, oh, big day. Brewers offense is ready to break out after getting, you know, stomped out by Snell the day before. But alas, no. The rest of the game, they would get two hits, and Yamamoto walked one other person while striking out seven, 111 pitch, complete game for the Dodgers. That was their first postseason complete game since 2004.
Wow.
So 21 years right there. That is impressive.
Yes, it is. And the way he looked last night, too, like poised, ready for the moment. Like that's the thing that impresses me so much. He came over here, Kevin. We saw him. You know, we got to see his first pitch against Major League pitching, and he looked pretty good. Rangers kind of did rock him a little bit, too. But then he's just turned into what we expected him to be.
And he was amazing yesterday. This Dodgers rotation has been incredible in the postseason. 1.54 ERA over eight games, and the starters have won six of the seven playoff victories for them. And then in this series against the Brewers through two games, a 0.53 ERA.
Everybody called the Brewers the best team in baseball, and to see, and they're good hitters too. They're good hitters. They have good pitching. They're a very well-rounded team. The Dodgers showed their payroll, and they also showed, hey, look, when we walk into a stadium, and we have a Blake Snell. We have a Yamamoto. Right. And these two guys step up. This is, Kevin, this is why we wanted the Rangers in the playoffs so badly, because they have two guys that can do exactly that.
Yes.
They can go out there and shut you down.
Yep.
And make it such a frustrating thing for offenses. So this is the Dodgers being just terrifying, dude. Just terrifying.
Yeah, and look, maybe the Brewers can come back, but one of the things the Brewers were so incredible with this year is they were absolutely dominant at home. So to lose those first two games at home,
yep,
fall into that deficit, it really looks like, I would be really surprised if the Dodgers were not in the World Series now. And maybe some people would be surprised if the Brewers even won a game at this point, but definitely a rough start for them.
I would say the best possible matchup in my mind is Dodgers-Mariners. I know it doesn't work well for what they want, but the way that those two teams play, it's matching styles of being able to slug and having strong pitching too. So like that would be my optimal drop for right now.
Yeah, and they're starting.
That's kind of what I'm rooting for. I know I said the Brewers the other day, but I've always kind of rooted for the Dodgers. I think I took a step back after they signed Otani, and I was just like, good gosh, you have all the money already.
They
you
do.
You have to buy everything.
So their starting pitchers are on a roll. We will shift focus back today to the American League, where that's a 2-0 series as well. It's amazing. Both Seattle and the Dodgers are up 2-0, and all four of those wins have been on the road. So we move back to Seattle and back to Los Angeles for the continuation of these series, and we'll see if it's inevitable that these are the two teams that move on to the World Series. All right, let's go from that to a lot of other things happening across baseball. Austin Hedges, clearly it's worked out for him with Cleveland. They signed him for $4 million for the 2026 season.
Steal of a deal.
With an additional $500,000 in incentives. The only thing I could tell you better right now is, did you know that both the Twitch and the YouTube are back up and running if you want to come check us out there as well?
I ask you a question, Kevin. What do you think Austin Hedges' batting average was this year?
190.
No. But it was better than last year with Cleveland.
Okay.
Last year was a 152.
Ooh.
This year, 161. Five home runs.
Okay.
10 RBI.
So that's improvement.
No,
that's true.
Well, yeah, Jerry? I guess he had less RBI.
It kind of feels like the way Jerry describes our defense improving, 152 to 161.
He is the definition of glue guy.
Yeah.
And he's a really good catcher. Sure. Like, he's one of the best defensive catchers out there. I just wanted to, for $4 million.
Yeah.
You're not getting much hitting.
I mean.
But you also got a World Series because of him.
Apparently so. Now, look, he was a great.
I'm not lying, dude. I really think that team, everybody has to do something. All right? Everybody has, some people have to keep things, they have to be a vibe.
Yeah.
That dude was a vibe.
So it won't be until game four
yep.
of the ALCS on Thursday, but Max Scherzer is going to make his first postseason start since game four. Or since 2023 for game four of the ALCS. So it's been a couple of years. He will be going up against Luis Castillo. You would think advantage Mariners, but we'll see how that plays out.
Max Scherzer is the apex competitor.
True.
All right. Do not count him out.
I will not.
I mean, maybe he gets his two innings in.
I mean, yeah, that's what I keep thinking of.
You know what, though, Kevin? Do you hope for one of those great moments, those one last, he's got one one more. Jeez. You don't want a Billy Chappell moment where he goes out there and pitches eight innings of beautiful baseball and then Clayton Kershaw gets another shot to go out there and do the same.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing and they live it.
Not really. If Nathan Eovaldi went somewhere else, I would root for him to do that. I still to this day will root for Jordan Montgomery to do that.
Really?
But
not Max Scherzer.
Eh.
Who brought you a World Series? Him and Austin Hedges single-handedly.
I was gonna say, of the people I would list that really brought you that World Series, I don't know how high on that list he would be. But
do want to make that list one day.
Yes, I do. All right, let's talk about Alex Bregman, who is not coming to the Rangers. Because I know now whenever a player opts out or they're going to be a free agent, oh, maybe the Rangers? No. But the Boston Red Sox third baseman did say he's planning on opting out of his contract with the team. He's been through this a couple of times. I guess he decided that financially it was worth it to go all the way around again. Maybe he'll go back with the Red Sox, but keep an eye out on Detroit, Toronto, and Seattle, some of those other playoff teams, as they might well be in the mix for his services. All right.
But not us.
No, it's not going to happen. But I'll tell you a player who is with the Texas Rangers, Sebastian Walcott. So he was in Arizona Fall League. He played one game, and he hasn't played in the last week or so.
Okay.
And so the Rangers have removed him from the Arizona Fall League. Now, they said
arm fatigue.
He was removed for arm fatigue. Here's what I think really happened. You are going to play him as a DH. That's not really what we're looking for. We wanted to see him in the field, so never mind.
Yeah.
I realize the irony of saying arm fatigue, but you really wanted him to play in the field. But that's what I think it was.
He's throwing the ball too much at shortstop.
But they're not playing him at shortstop.
And third base.
And that's the real reason I think they took him out of the Arizona Fall League. All right. Well.
All the times he throws the ball. Remember the study I wanted to do where I counted all the times he throws the ball, Kevin?
It's going to be tough to crack this defensive rotation until we make a lot of trades, because the Rangers have five finalists 4 Gold Glove. And I think this goes back to what's even more agitating about this team this year. Think about it. We saw probably the best starting pitching in the history of the Rangers, the best ERA in Major League Baseball. And you have a Gold Glove finalist at 5 of the 10 spots. And you finish 500.
I don't know if I've ever seen defense played as well as they played this year.
It boggles the mind.
And you couldn't score.
No.
To win, you couldn't score when you needed a run.
Yes.
Yeah, man, it's frustrating to see. Like, Adolis had a wonderful defensive year. He's right there on that list, right? How many times did you look up and see him make a special play? And then you were like, all right, now get up at the plate and do that too. And it just wouldn't happen.
I thought he was phenomenal. I'm not saying he is going to win. He would be my top pick to win from the Rangers. So Adolis Garcia is one of the 3 finalists at right field. I'm a little surprised by this, but good for him. Wyatt Langford is one of the finalists in left field. So huzzah for that. At shortstop, Corey Seager is a finalist. And at second base, Marcus Semien is a finalist. And then at pitcher, Jacob DeGrom is a finalist. And if you look at that list, I feel almost positive that 2 of those players will be back. Now, could the other 3 be back? Sure.
So no more DeGrom?
He's not one of the other 3. I feel positive that Jacob DeGrom and Wyatt Langford will be back. I'm not 100% about those other 3. And in fact, I would be quite surprised if Adolis Garcia was back. So you might have some defensive work to get.
Kevin gave you great news about all the Gold Glove finalists. And then he ruined your dreams of ever bringing back the World Series team again.
I'm
dumbfounded.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, Boach.
Well, we can't do it anyway because Boach isn't here.
Yeah. And he decided not to come back. So why can I not decide that some players from the World Series come back? By the way, for people asking about the 10 spots, there's a utility spot.
In your face.
No.
Kevin just dunked on
you. No, that was not what happened. That was strictly for informational
purposes.
Kevin
said you don't know what he knows.
On your face.
Yeah. Now try to do math against him.
It was not meant.
Dude, if we hosted a station math competition, would you be like, I'm in? Or would you want to be a judge?
No, yeah. I would 100% be in. And then I would tank and bet on somebody else behind the scenes.
You mean make a play?
No, in this case, it would be a bet. Underdog is not sanctioning math competition plays yet, as far as I know. But that's the ultimate way to
defeat
math.
Dude, I would be
math.
That guy standing there holding the cash going, oh, yeah, no, Hagee's favored by this.
And I want people yelling, and they're like, next category, trigonometry. And people are like yelling and pointing.
Then you throw dust in somebody's eye like in Bloodsport.
From the 817, damn it, I got dunked on by Kevin today. No, it was just an answer to the question. And could you please say,
did you feel it when you got dunked on?
Word? No, no.
Like Jared with the DeAndre Jordan.
Some kind words about the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have had a hell of a season. You got way farther than the Rangers. And teams have come back from 2-0 before. We said 16% of the time. So a little bit more than once every 6 times. So it could be your time.
Or not.
But probably not. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. What do you think, 82-0?
Oh, man, Mickey, we're getting so close. Our Stars only win. They only score
Come
5
on,
goals
Mickey.
Every game. But
what do you mean only? You are going to have an amazing season.
When I say only, I mean like that is what they do.
Okay.
All right, this is how they are. They score 5 goals. Right. You have to catch up to them.
Mickey, I need you to go with me on this.
All right.
First of all, it's never going to happen. But don't you think the level of pressure on the Stars going into the playoffs would be almost unprecedented if they went 82-0-0?
I didn't consider that when I said it. I just thought I'd feed into your
philosophy.
Well, I appreciate
it's
it.
Right? Just,
it's my he says it's not possible.
It's not possible.
But there wouldn't be an 82-game schedule and it not be possible. Like, there is a very small possibility.
No. There million, it's very small. A million to one.
He's
so
still
you're
upset.
Saying there's a chance.
Because he asked Bochy about it a while back, and Bochy was like, that's never going to happen. And so I felt vindicated about that.
Not if everybody's doing the salary cap.
We've just jinxed them. They'll lose the next game.
Oh, that would stink. So something that's interesting about sports, Mickey, is a lot of times you can make it a cause and effect that's probably not the real cause and effect. So like cause and effect, Jalen Cropper was waived. And in your mind, you can be like, because he really struggled on returns. But in reality, it's probably just because of the return of Turpin, and then obviously Mingo coming back, and they're probably going to look to get him back on the practice squad. Is that how you view it?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And, you know, I remember asking, so it was like, well, who's going to go back and catch punts? And I was told Cropper. And the next thing they told me was to fair catch.
Okay.
So I would say, oh, okay, I get it, right? You trust him to catch the ball. But yeah, they, you know, and so their hope is put him back on the practice squad. We'll see what happens. But it was mostly for special teams purposes only. So yeah, I think they needed to open up a spot that I think they feel confident. And we'll find out more today how much they can do. CeeDee Lamb and or Turpin should be ready to come back. Or at least be active. Let's put it that way. Not come back. And then at least one of those guys coming off IR, Mingo or Kalen Carson, who may be closer to coming off, but we'll see, you know, just exactly what they need.
Yeah, and you're right about how things change as the week progresses. But, man, when we talked with Steven on Monday, he seemed pretty darn confident about Mingo and Carson.
Yeah, but you got to make room for him. Yeah. So. You know, that would be one spot. Now you got to figure out where the other one is.
How much, I know this might seem like an obvious question, especially since a couple of these players were all pro, but how much of a difference could it make for the Cowboys if, for example, let's just take the whole group, Lamb, Turpin, Booker, Mingo, and Carson were all ready to go for the Commanders?
Yeah, that would be huge, I think. And, you know, I think Booker's close also, just watching him do his rehab on the resistance cords. He was moving pretty well. So I think it's a matter of getting back into practice. And at most they'll be limited today, I would think. Now, Wednesday's usually the padded day. We'll see if they do that, and if these guys can carry their pads and then be okay tomorrow to carry on, then I would think they have a better chance. I read, and I don't remember, I didn't write it down, somebody was doing, somebody was doing rehab on the cords, and the cord snapped.
That was Anthony Richardson.
Yeah,
Anthony
Hit him in the eye.
Yeah. That happened in pregame. So he was
like before the game.
Yes. And that was one of two players they had injured in the pregame. Another one of their players ran into another one of their players. I know that's weird.
Got a concussion.
And he got a concussion.
I remember that all. Same team or somebody else?
Yeah, it was the Colts. And Anthony Richardson just went on injured reserve because of that resistant cord
issue.
So
the buckle hit him in the eye.
Yes. Correct.
Ouch. But you know what? Those cords, I wonder if it was something different, because the cords I see these guys, you know, doing the resistant cords, they're long. They're like almost, you know, 5 to 10 yards long.
I think this was more of a like
you think it was like band. A band or
yes,
something.
That is exactly what I think.
Okay, because I was going to say they don't hold that thing so taut that it would snap. Right?
Yeah, sharper comeback.
Right.
On that.
Anyway, I got you off course there.
How do you know that?
But I'm glad you had the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Corey.
There was, back when Dan Quinn was here, I'm turning my attention to Washington now.
Let's do it.
Back when Dan Quinn was here, there were in McCarthy, and Schottenheimer was kind of a consultant at the time. They had some meetings where Schottenheimer would sit in with Dan Quinn's defense and talk about, he's even talked about this too, about how they would attack his defense and how to, you know, create ways to find holes. What kind of relationship do you remember those two kind of having, and how that might be an advantage to either one?
Yeah, I think it would be an advantage probably more so to Schottenheimer, because, you know, Dan's not going to change his philosophy or what he likes to do. But when Schottenheimer was here at the as the consultant, and he was kind of a background guy. Yeah. I don't know that anybody took him seriously, or, you know, I don't remember having a conversation with him ever when he was just a consultant. And it was interesting that he was concentrating on defense. So maybe he learned a thing or two that he could use now that he's the head coach. Because normally, when you have a head coach that's like predominantly one side of the ball, like Schottenheimer is offense, you're at the mercy of your defensive coordinator.
Right.
Because you usually can't step over there and go, okay, let me help you fix this, right? And I learned that, you know, Jimmy's first year, 2 years, when he's kind of a defensive coach, so he was at the mercy of Dave Shula to run the offense. And it wasn't like he was able to go in there and fix things, although I remember one night we were in the hospitality room. It was an away game, and somebody brought up about, well, yeah, but you don't coach offense. And Jimmy got out the cocktail napkin and started diagramming plays just to show nice. He knew offense.
Hell, right? I don't.
I coach everything.
But again, they didn't turn around that defense or that offense until North Turner showed up in 91. So it kind of shows you when you're not just, you know, you could be a walk-around coach, but you probably have some sort of expertise on one side of the ball. You need the guy on the other side to be able to run that unit. So I think Schottenheimer learning some defense as an offensive coach his whole life probably was valuable to him that, you know, he was able to do that.
I know he put up another week of 11-plus tackles, Shamar James.
Yeah.
That is, I wanted to get your breakdown, because I know Schottenheimer had lots of great stuff to say about him, of the tackles. Because sometimes, at least in the past, I'm sure this happens with every NFL team, you get a tackle because, well, he's already run 7 to 8 yards and you were one of the last lines of defense. Do you get the sense, or have you seen Shamar James getting tackles that have been good field positional tackles, or is he having to make up for the mistakes of defensive line again and again?
Or maybe his mistake.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe his mistake. Mm-hmm. Fair. Very fair.
And so, I've seen some of them further down the field, but it's still a tackle, and he still has the athletic ability and the speed to maybe catch up from behind and make that tackle. And again, you don't know what his responsibilities are. I mean, intimately, right? You don't know what they're asking him to do, and then he's making a tackle maybe 5 yards down the field. Maybe that's not, you know, where he was supposed to be, and then he made tackles. I think he's very athletic. I think he's very instinctive. He just hasn't played a lot of football. He only played 3 years at Florida, all right? And you know, one of the reasons why he was a fifth-round draft choice,
right.
I believe, right?
Yep.
And now you've thrown him into the fire, and it was this idea of kind of easing him in, and then it's like, all right, big boy, you're in. You know, we need you on the field. So I think his athletic ability helps him with some of the – I mean, now it's, what, 17 tackles, then 11 tackles. It's pretty impressive for a young guy
for sure.
Who was inactive the first two or three games, right?
Yeah.
And then when he was active the first time, it was for special teams purposes. And then, oh, all right, you got to go in. We need some help on these five plays or something like that. So – I think he's got a pretty darn good future just because of his ability. And if you ever hold a conversation with him, he's pretty sharp.
Oh, okay. That is always a bonus for sure. We appreciate it very much. We'll have you back in your regular spot tomorrow.
See you then. Take care.
There you go. DallasCowboys.com. Mickey Spagnola right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.